morning service tonight. If I don't finish this message tonight, we're going to look at it again Wednesday night. It says in Psalm 116, verse 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" I said this morning, and you answered it when I asked the question, how can we ever pay God back? We can't. No way. You cannot. You could have all eternity, and you'll have all eternity, but you'll never be able to pay God back.
Never.
You can't do it. It's impossible. However, there's some things. The psalm writer said, "What shall I render unto the Lord?" Is there some things that we can give back to the Lord that He has given to us? Is there some things that we can have in our life that would be honoring and glorifying to God? And the answer is yes. I have seven things written down in my Bible on this particular verse, and we looked at one of them this morning, and so we'll see how far we'll go. We'll just go until the Holy Spirit says stop, and we'll pick it up another time. We'll keep on going. But the first one this morning was that we owe the Lord. What do we owe the Lord? We owe Him our love. We owe Him our love. We are told to love the Lord with all of our hearts, our mind, our body, our strength. And so we are to give back our love because since God loved us, we love Him.
Yep.
That's how this whole thing works.
Sure.
We love God because He loved us first.
Yeah.
We love God because love to me is a greater motivator than anything
yes.
else that there is.
Yes.
You can maybe use the motivator of fear, and that'll get you to do some things, but I'm telling you, love will keep you doing things
yes.
that you need to keep on doing.
Amen.
And so love to me is a greater motivator in all the things that we do in our life as a Christian. We do the things that we do in our life as a Christian because we love God.
Yeah.
That's what motivates us.
Yes.
I tithe and give to missions because I love God. Not that I'm forced to do it. Not that I'm commanded. I don't do that out of fear. I know the Old Testament, that was something that they had to fear and they had to do. But I don't do it out of fear. I do it out of love because I love God.
Yes.
We tell others about Christ because we love their soul and we want to see them saved. I read the Bible because I know this is God's love letter to me. And to show my love back to God, I'm going to read His Word. I talk to Him because I love Him.
Amen.
We talk to people because we love them.
Right.
We have fellowships together. We like to visit with one another. Why is that? Because we love one another.
Right.
And so we do that. That's to me, love is a greater motivator than anything else on the face of the planet. What brought the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth to die for us?
Yeah.
It was love that motivated Him to come and to die for us. That's what motivated the Father to send His Son to die for us, was for God so loved the world. And so love's a good motivator. But what shall I render? Four words. What shall I render? What do I owe God? How can I give anything back to Him after He has done so much for me and done so much for me? Well, I owe Him my love. We looked at that this morning. Secondly, we owe Him our life.
Yes.
Our life.
Yes.
We need to give Him our life. He gave His life for us. Can we give our life to Him? Absolutely. We need to do that. We'll look at some scripture. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. You probably know the verse. It's one of those verses that's short, but we memorize it. But I want you to see it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, 21. "For to me to live," Paul says, "is Christ, and to die is gain." For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Would you say that Paul the Apostle lived his life for Christ?
Okay.
Would you say that John the Apostle and Peter, after he got his heart right, after as the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, they all lived their life for Christ?
Yes.
They all put Jesus Christ first. Well, you and I have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. The moment we got saved, the Holy Spirit came in and dwelled us.
Yes.
So we are to have the same attitude as Paul did and all the other ones. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That should be our thought process. That should be our motivator. I want to live for Christ because He lived for me. Not only did He live for me, He died for me. And so for to me to live is Christ. Christ is to be living in us and through us.
Yes.
He is to be on our lips. He is to be on our thoughts. He's to be in our mind. He's to be in our heart. And so our life is to consist and exist because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And listen, to die is just gain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that nobody likes to maybe think about death. I wonder about death. I've never experienced death. You've come very close to death. And some of us, maybe in our life, have come close to death during situations. You probably could tell us all about it, but none of us have gone through death and actually went through that process because you're sitting here tonight. I wonder about death. You do too, don't you? You wonder how you're going to leave this planet. I do. I wonder, you know, how that's going to take place, what it's going to feel like, and what it's going to be like. But it's still going to be gain.
Yes.
Because if we gain heaven, we gain eternal life. I know we already have eternal life, but we're going to dying is just a gain for us. It's a graduation from this life into the next life. That's what it is. It's a graduation service. That's the way I like to look at it. As we graduate from here into heaven. And so we owe the Lord our life. It's the life that we need to give Him. Too many Christians today are living for themselves.
They are. Yes, sir.
Living for their own ways, their own will, their own whims, and they're not living for Jesus Christ. Can't get a lot of Christians to even go to church.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Yeah. Can't even get some Christians to go to church.
Right.
I sometimes wonder about the Christianity when they don't even want to go to church.
Yes.
When they have no motivator to go to church. They have no desire to go to church. Sundays are more important, and Sundays is for them to do whatever it is that they're going to be doing. But we need to think about the way we're living our life for Christ. We owe the Lord our life.
Amen.
We owe it to Him.
Yes, sir.
That's, what shall I render? Well, my love, but secondly, my life.
Yeah.
Take my life and let it be, as we sing that song. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Colossians 3, 4. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Paul again writes, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Christ, who is our life. Is He your life? Now, don't answer. You don't need to say anything out loud. I want you to think about it in your mind and in your heart. Is Jesus Christ your life? Does everything revolve around Jesus Christ? Is He the center of your life? Is the church a vital part of your life? It should be. The church, the house of God, where we gather, where we meet, where we hear preaching and teaching, it should be a part of your life. Is it a part of your life? Is it something that you look forward to? I look forward to Sundays.
Yes, sir.
I look forward to Wednesdays.
Yes, sir.
I look forward to Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays when we have special meetings. Do you look forward? Did I miss Monday, Tuesday? No, I got them. Okay, I got them. All right. Do we look forward to those times in which we can gather together and hear preaching and be around other Christians? Do we look forward to that? Is the church part of your life? It should be. It ought to be. Christ needs to be part of your life. Christ died for the church. He loves the church so much that He died for the church. He shed His blood for the church.
Yes.
And so we should have some desire then to be in the house of God and to be around godly people. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. Paul writes a lot about this life that he's living.
Yes, sir.
Paul was a great example of living his life for Jesus Christ. Well, when he got saved, I'm telling you, his life changed. He wasn't living for Paul anymore. Now, his name was changed from Saul to Paul.
Yes.
From tall to short. From prideful to humble. Paul became a tremendous servant of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ used him greatly. And it wasn't easy for Paul. Some Christians think that, well, you know, if I get saved, life is going to be easy. I'm going to have it made. My problems are going to be gone. I don't have to worry about anything. No, you don't have to worry about anything. But life is not going to become easy for you just as a Christian.
Nope.
You're still going to have trials and tribulations and problems. Your car is still going to break down. Kids are going to get sick. People are going to die. Things need to be fixed. Things aren't going to go your way. You're going to have health issues. You're going to wake up in the morning with aches and pains. You're going to go to work all day with aches and pains. You're going to have to do all kinds of things. Life is not easy. Don't think that it is. But I tell you, as a Christian, God helps make our life a little bit easier.
Thank the Lord.
By trusting in Him and,
sure.
and following Him. Thank God for that. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Yeah. Paul was living by faith, not by the law. And Paul was doing what God wanted him to do in his life. When the Lord told Paul, I want you to go and I want you to preach to the Gentiles, he started off with the Jews and then he went to the Gentiles. Paul just simply said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? That's exactly the words of Paul when Christ met him on the road to Damascus. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do.
That's it.
And Paul got saved, got baptized, went into the ministry, and his life was never, he never turned around and looked back. He just kept right on going. He lived for Jesus Christ. There's not a person in this room, male or female, that could not be as the Apostle Paul.
Yes, sir.
Yes. We could all do what the Apostle Paul did. Now, we were not inspired to write Scripture, as Paul was inspired to write Scripture. The Bible is complete. We don't need any more books of the Bible. We don't need a book of Earl. Right? No. We already have a book of James, so we don't need another book of Jim. We don't need a book of Don. We've got the Bible completed. So we're not going to be inspired to write Scripture, but God can use us to spread His Word and preach His Word and be the examples that we need to be. See, we're living a life, and we're to be living it for Jesus Christ. James chapter 4. We'll spend a few minutes in James 4. I like James 4:14, don't you? I have a whole outline written in the side of my Bible I'm going to give you here in James 4:14. James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. That's good to know, right? Do you have any clue what's going to take place tomorrow?
Nope.
You have an idea what might take place. You think you might get up in the morning and go off. If you have a job, you might go off to work. You might go off to school. You might have plans tomorrow to do certain things. We have plans for this week, certain things that I have to do around here and in the ministry and things in the family, and so do you. But we really don't know what's going to take place tomorrow.
That's right.
The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, and then it says, for what is your life? What is your life? Question mark. What is your life? You're just not going to ponder those words. What is your life?
Amen.
You say, oh, my life is a wreck. Why is your life a wreck? My life is so discouraging and so depressing. Why is that? It doesn't have to be.
No.
It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. A long time ago, I wrote this word down. I wrote life in the side of my Bible, and I like to do that. You know me by now, but I took L-I-F-E, and I just put some things to life. Some things that I thought were important. This is my own little outline for this thing. You don't have to write this down, but I like it. I put down L is to live for Christ. If you're going to have a life that is worth anything at all as a Christian, you need to live for Christ. That's what I'm talking about tonight.
Yes.
What shall I render? Well, you owe the Lord your life. And so life is to live it for Christ. If you're saved, live your life for Christ. Stop living it for you.
Yeah.
Too many of us are living our life for us, for me.
Yeah.
Me first. I'm number one. Take care of me first. Don't care about anybody else. As long as I'm happy, as long as I'm satisfied, as long as I'm taken care of, if anybody else has needs out there, well, let it go. You know, that's the attitude of some of us today.
Yeah.
We don't care about other people. It's me first. I've got to make sure that I'm taken care of first. But we need to live for Christ. I gave you the example this morning about the Good Samaritan and the priest and the Levite that came by. And they did nothing for that man that was left for half dead, but the Good Samaritan came by and he took money out of his own pocket. At least 2 days' wages he gave the innkeeper to take care of that man that was beaten up and robbed and left for dead.
Yeah.
He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of that man. He had compassion on that man. Live for Christ. That's what the L in life is for me. And the I in life is invest Invest your time, your talents, and your treasures for the Lord. Invest.
Yes, sir.
Not necessarily. I know everybody's concerned about their 401 and their savings and all of the retirement and all of that stuff. People today are thinking about that. And I have been in my life, I have thought about that. I didn't do much about it. We have a little savings, but we don't have, 401. And the only retirement I have is Social Security. And who knows how long that's going to last, right? That could cease at any minute.
Yes, sir.
We may not get our checks anymore. Then what do we do?
Right.
Then we'll have to trust God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are you investing anything in the Lord? Are you investing your time? See, think about that. Investing your time. Putting any time into serving God, any time at all. Coming to church is part of that. You're investing some time coming to church. Now, if you come to Sunday school morning and evening and Wednesday, you're investing some time within that week. What's there, 168 hours in a week?
Yes.
And so if you spend an hour for Sunday school, an hour for morning, an hour in the evening, and an hour on Wednesday, there's 4 hours out of the 168 hours that you're investing for the Lord. Come on, that's not much.
Yeah.
No, sure.
Four out of 168, I don't know what the percentage of that is, but it's very, very small. Can you do that? Of course you can. Again, people, I can't make church three times a day. I can't make church three times on Sunday. And Wednesday nights, I'm just too tired and just too worn out. I can't do it. I told you the word that I'm getting tired of hearing is the word I can't.
Yes. Yes.
I'm getting tired of hearing that word. I wish we'd eliminate that from our vocabulary.
Amen.
Invest your time. Secondly, invest your talents. We have a lot of talent in this church. I really believe that. We have piano players and accordion players and
guitar players.
What'd you say?
Guitar players
and mandolin players and ukulele players and dobro players and other kind of players. And we have singers in our church. We have other talents that could be used for the Lord. Are you using any talent for God? Remember, the Lord gives us gifts. Gifts are to be used in the local church.
Yes.
That's where the gift is to be used. What gift do you have? You ought to know the gift that God has given you. It's been a while. I have brought messages and teachings on the gifts of God. We should probably do that again soon. You need to figure out what gift God has given to you and then use it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If God has blessed you with a talent, use it. Do you have a musical ability? That's a talent. Use it. There are some people in this church, you can't sing a note. And there's others that have beautiful voices that can sing and carry a tune. Use that gift for God. Use it in a right godly way.
Yes.
Other gifts that we have and other talents that we have. But are you investing your time? Are you investing your talents? And thirdly, are you investing your treasures? I know you don't like to hear it, but are you tithing?
Yeah.
Are you tithing? 10% of your income, are you tithing? You say, well, we're not told we have to tithe. Well, maybe you don't have to tithe, but again, I tithe because I love the Lord.
There you go. Yes, sir.
I'm motivated to tithe just simply because of love. We give well over and above our tithe to missions.
Amen.
We need to support our missionaries.
Amen.
We need to take care of our missionaries. And we do that with the offerings of all of us that we give on Sundays. We give our offerings to the Lord for the operation of the church and for the operation of missions. And so are you investing anything? That's what life is all about. Life is about investing. Not necessarily in the secular world. If you want to invest and you know how to do that, I've never got into the stock market. I have no idea. I keep an eye on the Dow just to see what it does every day. Because that is somewhat the barometer of the country, of what's going on in the world. But I don't know anything about stock buying. I've never gotten into that stuff. To me, that's somewhat of a gamble.
Yes,
it's a gamble in that stuff. I'd much rather just put some money aside somewhere and hopefully it's still good someday, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that either. But invest your time, your talent, your treasures. The F in life is, for me, I say forgive everybody.
Amen.
Forgive everybody.
Right.
You'll be a... Let me see if I can say this nicely. He'll just be a mean old ogre.
Oh boy,
if you don't know how to forgive people.
Yes, sir.
You'll walk around with a hard heart.
Yep.
That frown on your face all the time because you refuse to forgive other people.
That's right.
Your life needs to consist of forgiveness. Jesus Christ forgave you of all your sins. He wiped the slate clean. Can we forgive somebody? Somebody pulls out in front of you, what do?
Forget.
You forgive them.
Right.
You just slow down. You don't need to, go crazy behind the wheel. Ram them in the back. Kathy usually corrects me when somebody pulls out. I just barely take my foot off the gas.
Yeah, right.
I just get a little close. I just want them to see me in the mirror.
Disconnect your horn.
I don't blow the horn. I don't do that. But sometimes I like to get a little close just to let them know I was right there. I've had them blow the horn a few times because they didn't see me. I don't think there's any. I think that's why they put the horn in the car.
Right.
The truck. I think it's there for that purpose.
Yeah.
To warn somebody. I've had to do it. I've had it when I drove bus. I had to do that. I had to blow the horn. I had to blow the air horn. People pulling out in front of a big, huge yellow bus. You couldn't see the yellow bus? Big thing. Great big thing. With little kids on it. You can't see that. But anyway. Forgive.
Forgive.
You got to forgive. Somebody did you wrong. Somebody has done somebody wrong in your life. You've been done wrong. Somebody has, I don't know what it is, family did you wrong, friend did, or neighbor did you wrong, neighbor borrowed your tools and never brought them back. Boy, you've been mad ever since. Just forget it. Let it go.
Yes.
Go to Lowe's and buy more.
That's it.
Just let it go. You know, they say, when you loan anybody anything, don't expect it back. If you get it back, that's a bonus. Right? Somebody says, hey, could I borrow $20? Give them the $20. If they pay you back, wonderful. If they don't, let it go.
Amen.
Don't expect it back.
Exactly.
Don't expect it back.
Exactly.
You may not get it back, and it may cause hard feelings. Just let it go.
Amen.
We don't let a lot of things go. I'm helping me out here tonight, too. Okay? So I'm just letting you know that. And then the last one. I like this last one. The E is enjoy life.
Amen.
Why can't you enjoy life? Why is life so hard for so many people? So difficult, so depressing, so discouraging. I know everything is not wonderful. Not everything is Disney World. Not everything is just, a vacation and Holiday Inn all the time. We understand that. But can you still enjoy life?
Sure.
Yes. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I believe with all my heart, and I'll prove it here with a verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, that God wants you to enjoy your life. You think really God doesn't want you to enjoy life? No, I don't think that at all. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly, what? Say it. All things to enjoy. You think Paul was just saying something he didn't mean? There's nothing in this Bible that God is telling us that he doesn't mean.
Right.
Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let me read on. Verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I really believe that you can enjoy life.
Yes.
You just attempt to enjoy life.
Yes, sir.
You can enjoy today. You can enjoy tomorrow. Tomorrow's coming. Monday's coming. You can enjoy today tomorrow.
Yeah.
You can.
That's right. Amen.
You can go to work and enjoy the day at work. Thank God you have a job.
Yes.
Amen.
There are people that can't get a job or can't keep a job or whatever the case may be, or they don't have any income. You ought to thank God you have a job.
Sure, that.
It may be hard, it may be tough, it may not be easy. I don't think there's too many jobs out there that are easy and just sit around. Some jobs you can sit around and do nothing. Oh, the preacher, he doesn't do anything, right? So everybody wants to be a preacher nowadays. A couple hours a week is all we need, brother. That's it. But if you go to work, you can enjoy that job. with the attitude that, hey, I'm doing something, let me do this for the Lord. Maybe you don't like your boss. Maybe you got a terrible boss and terrible working environment. Whatever the case may be. Maybe you don't like the people you work with. But you can still go to your job and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you.
That's it.
That's right.
And I'm forgiving everybody around me, and just, Lord, help me put a smile on my face and enjoy the day.
Sure.
You can do that if you really put a little work into it. Right?
Sure.
It takes a little work. It takes a little effort on your part. Instead of just sitting around moping and groaning all day long, like so many people do. You don't need to do that. It's not easy. It's not something that we all just have it easy all the time. There are times, there are jobs that may be better than others. I don't know. But you ought to just learn how to enjoy life. If Jesus is your Savior, you ought to be enjoying life.
Sure.
You're forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. You have a copy of God's Word to instruct you in life.
Amen.
And you can't enjoy life, there's something wrong with you. So start enjoying life. So, again, when we think about this, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life that is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. We owe the Lord our life. And the reason we owe Him our life is He gave His life for us.
Amen.
Gave us everything. He literally laid His life down for us.
Yes.
On the cross. Before the cross. I mean, He sacrificed His entire life for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Can we give Him our life back?
Yes.
What shall I render? What shall I render? What shall I give God back that He has done so much for me? Our love, number one. Number two, our life. How about the third one? And we'll see. Maybe we'll do a couple more here. Go over to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth. We owe the Lord our love. We owe Him our life. Thirdly, we owe Him our loyalty.
That's exactly right.
Loyalty. He was loyal all the way to the cross for you.
Yes.
We have too many Christians quitting, falling by the wayside, giving up, giving out, giving in.
Yep.
Shame on them. Ruth chapter 1. I like these verses, 16 and 17. There's seven things there that Ruth said to her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and much more, and more, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Seven things there that Ruth said to Naomi that she was willing. Would you say that Ruth was loyal to her mother-in-law?
Sure.
She was. She wasn't only loyal to her mother-in-law, she was loyal to God Almighty. Your God's going to be my God.
Yep.
Paul, was he loyal to his God?
Sure.
Absolutely. Was Peter loyal to his God? Yes, he was. Was Jesus loyal to his Father? Oh, no better example than that.
Amen.
Jesus was loyal to his Father. How about you? How loyal are you? How loyal are you to the house of God? How loyal are you to the things of God? Think about that. How loyal are you, really? When the going gets tough, do you get going? When there's a little problem here or there, are you run off and run here and run there? We have a lot of disloyal people today.
Yes, sir.
I see it in the workforce.
Yep.
It used to be you'd get a job, you'd keep a job till you retire.
Right.
But you don't see that much anymore.
No.
In the professional sports, it used to be people would join a ball team because they were loyal to that ball team. And now it's, where can I make, $250 million in 1 year? It's all about the money, not
yeah.
about the loyalty, not
right.
about
right.
loyalty to that
right.
team or
Amen.
Or whatever
Amen.
The case may be. We just don't have a lot of loyal people today. And then we have it in our churches. We don't have a lot of people. Now, thank God for this church. We have some loyal people here. But there are Christians that just They're not loyal to their church. And so when there's a little problem that comes in, they're gone.
Yep.
You don't see them anymore. They've gone to a different church. And there's just, we've got to have that loyalty.
Amen.
Again, let me give you an example. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. I'm going to show you two loyalties over here in Matthew 26, if I can find it. There we go. Matthew 26, 31. Matthew 26, 31. I'm going to read some of this. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.
Right.
All right, that's a bold statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Boy, what a... Peter was just saying how loyal he's going to be to his Lord, and the Lord just pops his balloon. I mean, just pops his bubble. I mean, just said, you're going to deny me tonight three times, Peter. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all made that statement. They all said, Lord, we're going to die with you. You die tonight, we're going to go with you. But you know what happened. We all know what happened. Look at this. It goes on. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter. Now remember what Peter just said a few minutes ago, right? He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and what? Watch with me. I want you to watch with me. I want you to sit here and I want you to watch. I want you to pray. I want you to think. I want you to be there with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciple, unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Who did he address there? Peter. Peter, the guy that said, I'll die with you, Lord. And the Lord says, you're going to deny me tonight. So he addresses Peter. Then he says this in verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and pray the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, it is at hand. He is at hand that doth betray me. You know what I see in this passage of Scripture? I see two loyalties. I see the loyalty that the disciples had, which when I read this, they weren't that loyal. The Lord told them what to do, and they couldn't do it. They fell asleep. They couldn't do a simple thing.
Yeah.
All you got to do is watch. Yeah. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is be alert. All you got to do is sit right here. Just sit here and just watch with me. I'm just going to go over here a little bit, and I'm going to do some praying. I just want you to stay right here. I want you to watch. In other words, I want you to be alert to what's going on. That's what the word watch means. I want you to be alert. I want you to see what's going on. I want you to be here with me when I come back. I want you to be here for me when I come back. He comes back and they're sound asleep, snoring like crazy, probably. Were they that loyal to him? No. But then the flip side of that is Jesus goes and he prays to his Heavenly Father. And he says, if this cup may pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. We see the loyalty of the disciples, which was not that good, but then I see the loyalty of Jesus Christ to his Father.
Yeah.
Did Christ go all the way? Did Christ leave that garden and go and be arrested? Was he crucified the very next day?
Yeah.
He knew what was coming. He knew what was in his future. And he still did it.
Yeah.
Not my will, but thine be done. And so that's what I see. When I see loyalty, I look at Christ and his complete loyalty to his Father. He was so loyal to his Father. He would do nothing to offend his Father. Obviously, Jesus Christ is God. He couldn't do anything that would offend his Father. But he was shown his loyalty. But the disciples were shown their loyalty also. And they were lacking it. Folks, we owe the Lord our loyalty. We owe it to him. Regardless of what the circumstances in the world, I shared with you a little while ago, we could be going into a major famine in the near future. There's talk of a global war. There's been talk about a global war for some time now because of this whole thing with Russia and Ukraine. There could be a World War III on the horizon. We don't know. I would hope and pray not, but you don't know. There's all kinds of pestilence coming. We just came out of COVID. We've got other things popping up all the time. There are earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, and there's all kinds of things that we see that's going on in the world. We're living in a time, it's two things. Number one, it's exciting to be living during this time.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing the pages of the Bible coming to pass.
Yes.
Amen. But it can be a little scary at the same time.
Right.
You get a bunch of people that are starving, they'll do stupid things.
Yeah.
They'll do anything to get a bite of food.
Yes.
And that can be concerning.
Yeah.
We're living in very dangerous times.
Yeah.
And people walk into churches and just start killing people. They walk into malls and they just start killing people.
Yeah.
They walk into all kinds of places and just start shooting up people.
Yeah.
Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
Walk into a Tops grocery store and kill 10 people. We're living in dangerous times. You have no clue. You walk into a Walmart, you have no clue what's going to take place.
That's right.
Yeah.
But can we still be loyal to our Savior?
That's good.
Regardless of what's taking place.
That's good.
Jesus was in danger his whole ministry. They were always out to get him. And yet he was still loyal to his Father. Mm-hmm. It'll do you no good to run and hide somewhere.
No.
Do no good to go lock yourself into a little cabin in the woods somewhere. Because you're going to get hungry and you're going to come out looking for food. It's going to do you no good to do any of that. We need to live our life every day as we normally would live our life. And not be worried about things. I really believe that. David prayed a little while ago. God takes care of the sparrows. God feeds the wild. Will God feed us? I believe he will.
Sure.
But he also wants to make sure that we're diligent enough that we're going to do some of the work ourselves.
Right.
Book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that.
Right.
You want to just keep your eyes closed and sleep all day and be afraid and can't go out because there's a lion out there, or the fence is breaking down and nobody's repairing the front fence, nobody's doing the garden work, then how are you going to eat if you're not out there doing something to try to take care of the things of God? God gives us the wisdom and the ability to do those things.
Amen. Right.
We have a mentality today, I'm just going to sit here and expect somebody to bring me a plate of food.
Yep.
Now, you'll starve if you have that mentality.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, God has done some amazing things with Elijah. Yes, the ravens brought him food, meat, and he had all the water he could drink, but I don't know if a crow is going to bring you any food if you refuse to get out there and do anything at all for to try to take care of yourself. We owe the Lord our loyalty.
Amen.
God is loyal. He's a loyal God to us.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad when you got saved? I've been saved 51 years. I'm so glad the Lord never left me when I left him.
Right.
So glad
Amen.
For that.
Amen.
When I walked away from God, when I'm not faithful, he's still faithful to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I come back into his presence and into his fellowship, he's right there to welcome me back.
Amen.
He's loyal Amen. To me. He's loyal to you.
Yes, sir.
Can we be loyal to him? One more, and then we'll close it up for tonight. We owe the Lord our love. We owe the Lord our life. We owe the Lord our loyalty. And thirdly, we owe the Lord our labor.
Yes, sir.
Work. We live in a day today that there are people who don't want to work in the secular world. People just don't want to work. They feel that the world owes them something. They feel the government owes them something. They just refuse to work. They can work, but they just They just won't work. It's not that they can't work, it's they won't work. That mentality has crept into our churches today.
Uh-huh.
People think they don't have to do anything at the church, that the pastor will do it.
Yeah.
Or the assistant pastor, or somebody else in the church will do all the work that the church needs to be done. And yet, that's not the case. Thank God for the church that we have here. Thank God for those of you that come up to me periodically and volunteer and say, you know what, this needs to be done, can I do it? I thank God for that.
Amen.
I've told you this before, I'm not going to beg you to do something. If you don't want to volunteer to help out, I'll do it myself. But thank God for those that help. Thank God for those that have that mentality. Yeah, hey, I'll do something here at the church. This is God's house. This is not my house, by the way. I live back there, but it's still the church's property.
Amen.
The lawn still needs to be mowed.
Yeah.
Things need to be fixed. Things need to be done around here constantly. When you have a building like this, there's always something that has to be fixed or updated or cleaned or something. Thank God for those that come around and clean here on every Saturday. I do praise the Lord for you, our church. Those that help out, those that do things, those that come up to me and say, "Hey, can I do this? Can I do that?" Certainly, you can do this or you can do that. It just helps me out. But I think that we need to have the mentality that I'm doing this for the Lord.
Exactly.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Mm-hmm. Workmanship. Good works. Doing work. Doing things that God wants us to do. Now, I know that has a broad meaning. We could sit around and talk about what He means by that. We could sit around and talk about, well, what is the good works of God? Well, I'm just saying that we owe the Lord our labor. He put so much time and effort into us.
Amen.
He went to the cross for us. Can we do anything for Him? Well, I think we can.
Amen.
Sure.
1 Corinthians 15:58.
Yes.
I'll tell you, I'm so thankful that I have people come up to, "Hey, preacher, what do you need done?" And I'll say it, and okay. And it's as good as done when I say it needs to be done. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what?
Work.
The work of the Lord." Now again, what is the work of the Lord? Well, it could be a thousand things. "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So when you're working for God, you're doing anything for God at all, any kind of work for Him, it's not in vain. Mm-hmm. It's something that I believe that God will honor, that God will bless.
Yes, sir.
I'm reminded of Romans chapter 16. We'll close with this. Romans 16. Did you ever just go through and ponder all those names? 37, I think I wrote down 37. I think there's 37 names there.
Yes, sir.
In Romans 16. Paul is just thanking the people for all the things that they've done in the ministry, in the churches. He says in verse 1, "I commend unto you Phoebe," I brought a message on Phoebe not long ago, "our sister, which is a servant of the church," which is in Cenchrea, a servant of the church. Phoebe just served the church. A servant is a worker. Whatever she did in the church, that was a blessing to Paul. "That you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their home." You know how much work it takes to have a church in your house? "Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ." Look at this one. "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." Much labor. What is labor? It's work.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She did a lot of work for Paul. She did whatever needed to be done. And the list just goes on and on. And, And the accolades of all these different people that Paul just is admonished, he put them in the Bible. They're there forever, for all eternity, of the people that were his workers, his helpers, people that were involved in the ministry. Get involved in a ministry.
Amen.
Get involved in something in your local church and do something.
Yes. Yes.
Teach a Sunday school class. Be a Sunday school teacher helper. Get involved in the choir. We could use some more choir people in our choir. It was brought to my attention today. We have some people that have kind of drifted off or dropped out of the choir. We could use some more people in the choir. But it takes work.
Yeah.
It takes faithfulness. You got to be in church in order to be in the choir.
Right.
Yep.
I found that list, by the way. It's on my desk. I'll give it to you after church. There's some work involved when you're going to be singing in the choir. There's some work involved when you're going to be doing something for the Lord here in the church. It takes work. It takes labor. As the church grows, guess what? More labor.
Right.
More work.
Yeah.
I hate to lay that on you, but it's just going to be that way. If we get another building out there someday, there's going to be that building and this building to take care of.
Yep.
Makes you shiver, doesn't it? Yeah. There's work that needs to be done in a church.
Amen.
There's things that have to be done. And only you and I can do them.
That's it.
And if you're not willing to do them, who is? I often think about this particular question. If everybody was like me, would anything get done in the church? Now put your own name in it. If everybody was just like you, what would get done in the church? Think about that. What would get done in the church if everybody was just like you? Now some of you, you know, things would get done. I'll leave it at that. The Lord did so much for us. The least we can do is something for Him.
Right.
And there's no better place to do it than in the local church.
That's right.
Amen.
Right here.
Yes, sir.
In this church. The church that you are a member of, the church that you attend. This is where the work needs to be done. What are you doing for the Lord? Are you doing anything for God? Within the house of God? We owe the Lord our labor. We owe the Lord our life. We owe the Lord our love. We owe the Lord our loyalty. These are things that we owe Him. What shall I render? How can I ever give back to God? I can't pay Him back completely, but I can do something.
Sure.
I can give Him something, and the best thing to give Him is me.
There it is.
The best thing that you can give the Lord is you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Hardman touched on it last week. Some of us ought to get in the offering plate and stand there and say, "Here I am, Lord, I'm offering myself to you."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think our churches would be different if that was the case.
Amen.
Father, thank you again for the blessings you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for this verse that we've looked at tonight. We just want to praise you and thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and mercy. Lord, you know who's here that's not saved. You know, Lord, who's this message spoke to their heart. I just pray that you would work and move and upon this time of invitation. Lord, if there's a lost soul in this room, I pray that that soul would be saved tonight before it's too late. Lord, just bless this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you need to come tonight, please. Don't put it off. Just come.